Hello and welcome to In Focus. I'm Anthony Moreno. Today we talk about trade, tariffs, and business along the borderlands. Our guest is Jerry Pacheco. He is president of the Border Industrial Association, also executive director of the International Business Accelerator, and Mr. Pacheco writes a column for the Albuquerque Journal titled Business Across the Border. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Anthony. Always a pleasure.
Now, I want to start off with some good news. You have a new business relocating to Santa Teresa.
Yes, we have a new corrugating operation, which makes cardboard for packaging. They also have their own printing operation. It's called CSI. Company out of Renton, Washington, Seattle suburbs, wanted to be here at the border. We fought for this deal for 4 years. And they finally signed on the dotted line, set up they're setting up their production plant right now. So we're looking for New Mexicans to fill these jobs.
Now, I want to talk with you about the tariffs that the Trump administration has announced on Mexico, Canada, and the European Union as well. You have wrote that you are very concerned about these tariffs and how they may impact business along the border and across the world. Could you share with us why are you so concerned?
Because it's not a black and white matter. Supply chains, particularly let's say on the border, are so integrated. You may have a Santa Teresa based manufacturer that's supplying an OEM, a buyer in Mexico. But they're using components maybe from Taiwan, they might have some from China, they might have some from Germany. Any tariffs wholesale against a country is going to disrupt that supply chain. Plus, a lot of people don't know, and I always say this, New Mexico is a major automotive production base. And that tends to freak people out because you never think of New Mexico as an automotive production base. But in Santa Teresa, we have a multitude of companies that are supplying the automotive industry in Mexico, or they're bringing stuff out of Mexico and distributing it. So these tariffs that I think the administration views in a black and white manner cannot be viewed that way. You see the disruption, and perhaps even worse than the actual tariff is the day-to-day confusion of trying to operate in this business environment when you don't know what the administration's going to do next.
Now, President Trump has tweeted out that the U.S. is losing billions in trade deals. Also, his administration has imposed tariffs on steel, aluminum, and how does that impact workers here in the United States? I mean, there may be some workers that are happy to hear that news who work at a steel factory or something like that. Why should they be concerned?
Well, I would imagine if you're at a steel factory that's been shut down for a while, there's hope that it's going to restart. But that's such a small smidgen of the entire steel market. You have to look at the value-added production of that raw materials. Stampers, slitters, metal fabrication companies. Those are the companies that are going to get hit hard with these tariffs. And there's many more workers in that tier of industry than they are making the iron ore into steel. So the effect is much more pronounced of what on that sector, on many more workers that the administration's doing.
Now, Mexico has reacted as well in imposing tariffs on the U.S. How big of a concern are businesses where you're located in Santa Teresa that do business along the border with Mexico?
Very, very concerned. But I call what's happening between Mexico and the United States in certain areas a phony war. Let me explain that to you. The day that Mexico declared that it was retaliating with 15% to 25% tariffs on U.S. steel and aluminum imports into Mexico, I started getting calls from all of our businesses. I started getting calls from reporters. And I didn't know any detail of how Mexico was going to impose those tariffs. So I started calling the Mexican government, the Secretariat of Commerce. I started calling the U.S. Department of Commerce. Nobody has information. So I've got these companies wondering, well, how does that affect us? Finally, Mexico issues a decree that details how they're going to impose the tariffs. Well, anybody that's participating in Mexico's maquiladora industry, of which a lot of our firms are, they're shipping in bond, duty-free to Mexico already, they're not going to be whacked with the tariff. Well, if you consider that 80% of U.S.-Mexico trade is based in the maquila industry, what is Mexico really doing? plain politics like we're doing with Mexico, because Trump did the same thing to them. But there's so few Mexican steel and aluminum imports that come into the United States that it really is more political than anything. However, the confusion of trying to find out whether you're affected, how are they applied, I got to get together with my lawyer and accountant, it's not good for the business environment.
Now, the European Union also has said that they're willing to retaliate as well. How is this going to impact the business?
You ever get the feeling that it's us against the world? And that's what's happening right now. How do we as a nation, how did we get to a point where Canada's an enemy? I mean, we talk about the West Europe being our great allies and we have this great relationship with the UK. I say that probably the United States has the warmest relationship with Canada of any nation in our world here. And to get Canada in a position where they're questioning why the president's using national security as a method by which to impose the tariffs, which is what he's doing because we're breaking all World Trade Organization laws and we're impinging upon NAFTA, and he's saying it's national security. Canada outright says, that's ridiculous. Yeah, we're gonna invade the United States from your northern border. We're lucky to have Canada there, and we're lucky to have Mexico as a partner in the South. It's got a hollow political ring to it.
Now, Canada's Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, has been quoted as saying that they will retaliate dollar for dollar on any tariffs that the United States places on Canada. Canada, Mexico, the United States involved in NAFTA. Obviously, President Trump has made no secrets about his dissatisfaction for that current deal. How do all these tariffs and these, what you call, the rhetoric that we've heard so far from the president and also the countries that we're involved with, how is that impacting the current negotiations with renegotiating NAFTA?
Well, that's been punted until after the midterm elections and I think the elections in November. Let me give you an example of how it affects us, not in the United States, but outside our borders. We have an election coming up in Mexico now in July. And the negative rhetoric that we seem to always aim at Mexico, it seems like every week the administration comes out with something, is influencing the far left in Mexico, and it's emboldened the far left. If you look at the polls, AMLO, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, who's run for president before, and he's very left of the center, is leading the polls, if you believe them, by 20 points. It appears that he's going to win. Now, I'm not saying that's good or bad, but certainly if you take his past and his rhetoric contrary to the United States, we may have no cooperation on immigration. We may have no cooperation on border security. He may just say, you're not going to treat us like this, and fine, cancel NAFTA. We have an open border at the South. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it could, and that's affecting us. We're not making any friends with our traditional allies, with the population of our traditional allies, by this negative rhetoric.
How is this rhetoric from the Trump administration, really impacting the United States standing in the world as a trade leader?
Oh my goodness. The post-World War II kind of regime, the world regime in terms of trade and politics and what have you, the U.S. has always been a leader. It's been a leader from a political standpoint in terms of promoting democracy. And of course, capitalism is part of that that strategy. We've been a leader and we've been the go-to nation, and we've convinced the world, especially after the Soviet Union fell, that the democracy and capitalism are the two political and economic systems that work in the world, that generate wealth and provide for the well-being of your citizens. We have just backtracked from that whole strategy. And I don't think the world is viewing us as a leader, at least from an intellectual standpoint, economic or political. I think the world still fears us because we're such a powerful nation from a military standpoint. But our image in the world, from everybody I've talked to, I've hosted Afghan ministers in my office, I've hosted German journalists, I've been to Mexico, I was in Mexico yesterday all day long. I don't think anybody is viewing us with any kind of envy at this point in time.
So What happens when the United States, should it lose its standing in trade across the world? How long does it take to recover from something like that?
I think it's going to be a long time. And especially when you mention trade, Anthony, China is right there at the doorstep, willing to step in and fill the void. And they're doing that. The Chinese presence in Latin America is just gone up exponentially. Where we're pulling back and we're attacking our allies, China's stepping into Latin America because it sees a trade relationship as a good way politically to be involved in the region. Plus, it's a great way to tap into the talent of the Latin American workforce and all of the natural resources that they have there that this huge Chinese economy is going to need. I can't see any bigger gift that we could have given to China than becoming isolationist in our approach to the world.
Now, President Trump, a lot of his argument was that we're, you know, getting taken advantage of by China. You know, how true is that? And do you see that the president's actions are they doing China a favor when it comes to trade?
With any nation, any kind of bilateral relationship you have in trade, there's going to be honest sectors, there's going to be cheaters. And China certainly has been one of the biggest cheaters in the world in terms of stealing intellectual property from U.S. companies, being heavy-handed in the way they deal with the manipulation of their currency. All of that is true, okay? And I would support the Trump administration in bringing China to the negotiation table to take care of that. But wholesale tariffs, when you consider that Apple is manufacturing, you know, the president, I understand, carries an Apple cell phone. That was not built in Wisconsin. That was built in China. That's U.S. technology, partial U.S. components, but those components come from all over the world. And when the finished product comes in, we're going to slap a tariff on a product like that. We're actually tariffing ourselves in a sense. And I'm not sure that's going to result in any widespread move by U.S. companies that have established themselves overseas to come back. But it really is just, right now you've almost got to be a nuclear physicist to understand how the tariffs are affecting this company, that company. The world is based on supply chains that are so integrated. And like with Mexico, our relationship with China is the same way. We've got Foxconn from Taiwan using Chinese components, U.S. components to make Dell computers. So you slap a tariff on that coming from Mexico. If 40% of that computer is New Mexican, or not New Mexican, but United States, I'm saying New Mexican because I'm biased to Santa Teresa, but if they're coming from the United States, we're actually slapping tariffs on our own companies. And the end result of all this is you and I pay more for that iPhone, and you and I pay more for that Dell computer.
Now, you mentioned that you have to be super educated to really break down how the tariffs are really making an impact on each level. But how do you tell, you know, the person in the general public who doesn't really have much of an idea, how do you get them to really understand what's happening right now? What do you tell them?
It's very difficult to explain if you don't understand supply chains. And the irony of it all is this: that person who is struggling, you know, that person who is earning a minimum wage job or under 10 bucks an hour, whatever it is, that has a family, and they go out and they live paycheck to paycheck, by slapping the tariffs onto China, okay, Chinese goods coming to the United States, who shops more at the Family Dollar store? Who shops more at the Dollar General? It's these people that are struggling every day. And all of a sudden, that stuff goes up. I was in Mexico yesterday, for example. We're bringing this big art show to Silver City, and we're helping Western New Mexico with that show. Front page of the paper, many items in Mexico, like Washington apples and U.S. produce, have tripled in price. And now that opens up the rest of the world, Brazil, particularly countries like Brazil, to step in and say, well, we got apples, we've got this, we've got soybeans, we've got sorghum. And you see it on the street. It's very pronounced effect in Mexico. That's going to be filled in, that void, by other countries of the world that step in. But for that struggling person, they need to understand that they're at the tip of the spear in terms of getting affected by these tariffs.
All right. Well, we unfortunately are out of time, but we are going to continue this conversation. Jerry Pacheco, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And we want to thank you for joining us for In Focus. I'm Anthony Moreno.